Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Carol Kelly and Gail Martin. Each week, the ladies will bring you planting and gardening ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies, and habitats. Great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Gail Martin.
Good morning. I'm excited to be here with another segment of In the Green Outdoors. Today I'm presenting on the Eastern Red Cedar, Wild Black Cherry, and Hazelnut. Now we're going to start out with the Eastern Red Cedar, which is commonly just called Red Cedar, sometimes Eastern Juniper, Pencil Cedar, and Red Juniper. This is a species of dense, slow-growing conifers, which is well known for its graceful appearance and for being incredibly strong and small to medium in size. Although the common name implies that it's a cedar, this plant is not. It's a juniper, as its botanical name, Juniperus virginiana, indicates. The red cedar was originally found in the eastern and northern states of America. Its height is generally 16 to 66 feet, and once in a while you may find one growing up to 89 to 90 feet. Red cedar is dioecious, which means the seed and pollen cones appear on separate trees. And this is a moderate to long-lived evergreen. Some specimens have been known to live more than 500 years. And the ones that are that old, you're going to find in very old cemeteries and in old, undisturbed properties. In much of the Midwest, the Eastern Red Cedar is regarded as an invasive species. It has been documented as a threat to prairie and scrubland ecosystems in states like Oklahoma and Kansas. The pollen of Eastern Red Cedar is an allergen. Contact with the red cedar's wood or leaves, which are very prickly, can cause mild skin irritations in some people. Another problem often found with Eastern Red Cedar is that it is an alternate host for the cedar apple rust, which is a pathogen that is destructive to fruit trees like apples, pears, and quince. Cedar trees are known for their ability to grow in moist soil and to resist rot. The compounds that help them resist rot also contribute to their medicinal properties. In traditional Native American medicine, red cedar was an important ceremonial plant that was burned as incense to clean the mind, and a tea of the twigs and branches was said to cure just about everything, from scurvy to arthritis to fevers. An infused oil can be made out of cedar leaves and added to mosquito repellent mixtures. Eastern red cedar is a fine-grained, fragrant heartwood and is used for building fence posts, closets, and chests, and is even considered ideal for making flat bows, long bows, and even sinew-backed bows. Juniper essential oil is obtained from the twigs, leaves, and wood, and its cones are used as a flavoring agent in gin. Interestingly enough, it's even used as a Christmas tree now, since it's invaded Oklahoma and Arkansas and Missouri, and those three states are using it as a Christmas tree. Its foliage provides roosting and nesting sites for robins, sparrows, juncos, warblers, and mockingbirds, and the twigs and foliage serve as a food source for browsers. And even the blue fruits are consumed by a wide variety of wildlife, which includes cedar waxwings, who are named for the tree. I'm going to continue now with black cherry, which is also known as wild black cherry, rum cherry, or mountain black cherry. It's a deciduous tree, or shrub in some cases, belonging to the same genus as plums and apples. The species is widespread and common in North America and even South America. Black cherry is closely related to the choke cherry. And choke cherry, however, tends to be shorter and acts more as a shrub. It also has smaller, less glossy leaves. Black cherry can reach 60 to 80 feet in height and 2 to 3 feet in diameter. The mature tree develops a 30 to 60 foot wide crown and has a dark gray, reddish or brown, or nearly black bark. And during the first 10 years of the plant's life, it has thin, smooth bark. And after that period, the bark becomes stiff and scaly. Now, I had a biology professor in college at OSU Marion who referred to the bark of mature trees as looking like burnt potato chips. And I kind of had to agree with him. Now, black cherry wood is a rich reddish-brown color and is strong, hard, and close-grained. It's one of the most valued cabinet and furniture woods in North America. It also can be used for paneling, interior trim, veneers, handles, crafts, toys, and even scientific instruments. Black cherry is used for reclamation of surface mines as well. Now, the leaves, trees, bark, and seeds produce a cyanogenic glycoside, which may poison livestock who eat wilted leaves. And that's because the wilted leaves contain more of the toxin than fresh leaves. White-tailed deer, however, can browse seedlings and saplings without any harm. The inner bark, where the glycoside is concentrated, was used historically in the Appalachians as a cough remedy, a tonic, and a sedative. The glycoside derivations acted to quell spasms in the smooth muscles lining the bronchioles, and very large amounts of black cherry can pose a theoretical risk of causing cyanide poisoning. The fruit has been used to flavor rum and brandy. Just think cherry bounce. Pitted fruits are edible and can be eaten raw and are often used in wine and jelly. Black cherry is an excellent choice for both an edible and wildlife-friendly garden, and it's one of the most common trees found in new-growth woodlots. Baltimore Orioles love to nest in them and really enjoy the fruit. And the cherries are also a favorite of at least 50 species of American birds, including woodpeckers, tanagers, orioles, finches, and sparrows. Bees, flies, and beetles visit it for pollen and nectar. And mammals seem to like the cherries too, as there is evidence that they are consumed by red fox, black bear, raccoon, possums, squirrels, and rabbits. It's also a host for over 200 species of moths and butterflies, including tiger swallowtails, coral hair streaks, striped hair streaks, red spotted purples, Cecropia moths, Promethea moths, and even the hummingbird clearwing moth. My final tree for today is hazelnut, also known as the American filbert. You often find it growing along Ohio roadsides, in fence rows, and at the edge of forests. This lovely little nut-bearing shrub can reach about 15 feet in height and adapts easily to wet and dry climates. Hazelnuts have male and female flowers, so they need not have another shrub present to produce fruit. The American hazelnut commonly occurs in dry or moist thickets, woodland, and borders of woodland. It can be found in valleys and in upland areas. Because it adapts to a range of pH types, it's very much used in just about any landscape, but it really does best on well-drained, loamy soil. And the American hazelnut seems to prefer full sun for the best growth and development. And though it can grow and persist in partial shade, the fruit production is greatly reduced. American hazelnut is a thicket-forming native shrub, medium to fast growing, and it will sucker moderately, so it may produce a multi-stemmed clump appearance. The edible nuts mature in September to October. And American hazelnut is an excellent shrub for naturalizing a woodland garden or a shade area. The showy male flowers, which appear as catkins, add early spring interest, and the dark green leaves are a beautiful kaleidoscope of yellowish green, orange, red, or purple in the fall. The fruit is a globe-shaped nut, which is enclosed in a large leaf-like covering. And this tree or shrub flowers March through May, and the fruit generally ripens from July to September. Hazelnuts grow readily in the wild, and they're cultivated all over the world for their edible nuts. It's an extremely cold-hardy shrub as well, and has medicinal properties. And the nuts themselves are full of healthy fat, and science is showing that they are useful in maintaining healthy heart function. Beyond that, hazelnuts were also used medicinally by Native Americans. The bark was made into a poultice to help close and heal wounds, and the casing on the outside of the nut was used as a worm expellent for worms and parasites. The value of this shrub to wildlife is very high. The dense, low growth habit of hazelnuts provides cover and nesting site for many birds and other wildlife. And it's an excellent pollen source. It also hosts those numerous caterpillars, including a juvenile's husky wing, which is a type of skipper. It's one of the butterflies that is always associated with American hazelnut. And the Polyphemus moth is spectacular, and you really want to see that hosting near your house. The Luna moth also is another moth whose caterpillars may eat hazelnut leaves, although there are several other things that they host on as well. When the nuts mature, they attract seed-eating birds, and you'll see blue jays and woodpeckers around them. Hazelnut is often planted by wildlife enthusiasts to attract and keep game in an area. The nuts are even eaten by squirrels, deer, turkey, woodpeckers, pheasants, and other animals. And even the male catkins are a food staple for ruffed grouse throughout the winter. Join me again in 2 weeks when my broadcast will continue to cover more edible Ohio native trees and shrub species. This is Gail Martin signing out for In the Green Outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it. Thank you for listening.